This week, we're looking at the phenomenon of crowdsourcing. And what's that? Well, take the recent Vegemite product, iSnack 2.0. It was named by a member of the public in a competition, and thanks to that, or thanks to something else, it hasn't been very successful with this new name in the last week or so. Smith's Crisps are doing something similar. You might have seen the advertisements asking for someone to come up with a new flavour, and there are rewards for doing this, big financial rewards. So is this crowdsourcing thing catching on, and should we all get on board? To discuss this, I'm joined now by Angela Russo, Associate Professor in Design at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne. Angela, welcome to By Design.
Hello, Alan, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. Now, let's start with this new Vegemite product. As most people will know about this, the iSnack 2.0, which when it comes to sales hasn't done very well in the last couple of weeks. Mm. But this is an example of crowdsourcing, isn't it?
It is, Alan. I mean, we're hearing an awful lot about crowdsourcing at the moment. And what it basically is this idea that you can use the public to perform tasks as a group that were previously undertaken by people internally. And what we're finding now is that with the rise of social media like Flickr and Twitter and Facebook, the audiences are actively contributing to discussions and they're voicing their opinions. And crowdsourcing is a natural extension of that. I think what happened with Kraft, with the iSnack 2.0, was not so much of how crowdsourcing could go wrong, but rather of not recognising that if you ask the crowd to contribute, then you'd better be sure to be seen to be listening to our contributions. And, you know, for those people who weren't aware of the programme, Kraft developed these ads to come up with a new name. And then having asked us, they actually chose a name and released it without asking for our opinion on it. And when they announced it, there was a big backlash. And according to The Age, the number of negative comments ran into the thousands, and Kraft stepped back from endorsing the name. So, you know, it's a sense of, you know, what went wrong. And I suspect that the problem was that after they went out to the crowd, they made that decision without asking for feedback. And so what they did was they went back to the crowd and they put up a new sign on their website that said, "We've listened and we've taken on your feedback." And they ran another competition for about 5 days and crowdsourced a name which people could, they put up 10 names and we could then vote. And today we have a new name, and that is Cheesy Bite.
Yeah, because that's what it is. It's cheese and Vegemite in one jar, which I think sounds disgusting, but cheese and Vegemite in one jar.
I have to say, I was surprised that they still sell that cream cheese in a jar. That's something that I remember from my childhood. I thought we'd come a long way since in, but in fact it's still on the shelves.
And the Smith's Crisps campaign, again, they were calling for a member of the public to come up with an idea, a new flavour. This is crowdsourcing again.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because this happened at the same time as the Kraft campaign. What Smiths did was come up with a new campaign that was called Do Yourself a Flavour. A call went out to the crowd to come up with a new flavour. We had 8 weeks in which to enter, and the judges would choose the top four flavours and then work out how to manufacture them. And in a few days, those new flavours will actually go on sale in Australia for a short time, and each of the four finalists will receive $10,000. And from the end of this week, Smiths will be running the last part of that campaign, where it asks us to vote on which flavour we'd like to see kept in production. And then the big winner receives $30,000 in cash and a cheque in the mail every month that this chip is still on sale, up to $200,000 per year. So I think what's important about this process was that it was made public on the Smiths website at the beginning of the campaign. So we knew up front that our opinions would be heard and listened to, and that we'd have a chance to be involved in that final decision. I think that's where it's quite different to Kraft. So I suppose, like, as far as what did we learn from a design perspective, we witnessed that desire for the crowd to participate in the creation of new products, and that's really important because traditional design practice tends to be very closed, but for a long time there's always been that tension between that atelier model of designer, you know, the creative whose methods are mystified and somehow unattainable, and that sort of participatory model of design, which suggests that audiences can co-create products, services and experience in collaboration with designers.
Well, that's true, but Angelina, I have a vague memory. I can't really be specific, but I have a vague memory of things like this, of the public being called upon to find names for things, going back quite a long way. So perhaps we should ask what's new about it. And obviously, the one thing that we can mention is that the media are new. So is that what we're talking about? Is the relationship between you as a manufacturer and the public more intimate if you're getting to them on Facebook, say, rather than getting to them because they're watching MasterChef on Channel 10?
Yeah, I think that, like, increasingly there is that sort of shift for designers to move away from being a sort of sole author to actually being engaged in a co-creative process. And again, like, that's not new. We've got a lot of examples like user-centered design and participatory design and interaction design. They've all included audiences in some way in that development. But what social media does is actually provide us a forum through which to explore design solutions and challenges in a very public way. So we're looking at potentially a new relationship between audience, client, and designer, and that's happening in a public forum. And I think that's where it's quite different to a very traditional design process. And what that means is that we have the potential as designers to actually become more engaged in demand-driven products and services rather than supply-driven. And of course, that also means that we have to be sort of have that greater capacity for knowledge management to facilitate that process and to organise that sort of collaboration.
This is By Design. I'm Alan Saunders, and with me today is Angelina Russo, who teaches design at Swinburne University of Technology in Melbourne, and we're talking crowdsourcing. Angelina, a lot of these changes are about a larger shift in the culture, something that Todd Sampson, CEO of Leo Burnett, the global advertising agency, mentioned to us a couple of weeks ago. He said that people want to know how things are made. They want to be part of the process. And you seem to be saying that this is happening. It's no longer good enough for a designer to ignore these changes.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, some of us remember, you know, when there was the potential for all of us to become a desktop publisher, you know, when some of the first 2D and 3D animated programs came out. And at the time, there was a sense that, you know, that we didn't need designers anymore. And I think that crowdsourcing is at such an early stage that we've yet to sort of work out where and how it actually sits within the design process. But it's interesting. Like, I wrote an article for Ant Hill magazine recently, and that looked at what the implications for the design community were. And, you know, some people are fearful and some are dismissive, but most recognise that crowdsourcing as a way of actually engaging with audiences and creating demand-driven products and, you know, saleable experiences that we do so with our audiences in very unique ways is something that will become part of future design practice.
Well, we await developments. Angelina Russo, thank you very much for joining our trends discussion today.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Details on our website at abc.net.au/rn/bydesign. So what do you think? Are you using Facebook and Twitter with confidence? What are you learning about the new ways of shopping and of gathering information? Send us an email and let us know.